Welcome to episode 15 of Social Anxiety Life. This episode builds on the previous episode where we discussed, does social anxiety affect sleep? In this episode, we're going to think about and talk about different solutions that you could possibly implement in your own life to improve sleep if you have social anxiety.
Absolutely. So a lot of our practical solutions today come from Charlie Burley, who is also known as the Teacher's Health Coach on Instagram. And he's going to provide a really great insight today on maintaining a healthy sleep routine. So one of his points is about the importance of keeping to the same sleep pattern. Consistency signals to your body when it's time to wind down and prepare it for rest. So, Simon, would you say that you have a consistent sleep pattern?
No, I do not. I don't have a consistent sleep pattern. I wish I had.
Yeah.
It's just really, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
However, I mean, there are times where it's very consistent. And, you know, I go to bed and... you know, when I get good night's sleep, that's great. I get great night's sleep and I'm ready and, you know, ready for the day ahead. But it's all that stuff you do before you go to sleep. So your sleep routine, your sleep hygiene, your routine. So I know that when it's time for shutdown, to go to bed, TV's off. I know some people say, you know, switch the TV off like an hour before you go to bed. I don't. I switch it off and I'm in bed within like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Of
it going off. But if you throw in your social anxiety thoughts, it's really difficult to get a consistent routine in place. And for me, there's a particular part of sleep called your circadian rhythm. And that is your body's internal clock that regulates your sleep and wake cycle. To ensure it's in check means you get better sleep quality. I think your thoughts related to social anxiety dysregulate your sleep wake cycle.
Yes, because I was going to say, I think I actually have a pretty decent sort of sleep routine or a sleep pattern in that I generally do go to bed around the same time and my time that I wake up tends to be quite consistent. But as you said, when social anxiety comes into it, that then disrupts my sleep pattern. So events that are coming up will disrupt my quite consistent sleep pattern.
In the last episode, I talked about a particular episode that meant I got very little sleep. We're talking between 1 and 2 hours I got.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, when I talked about that with my counsellor, she said to me, did you just get out of bed? Did you just get up and do something? For me, though, if you get up and do stuff, you're awake, you're on the go, you're doing stuff. Yeah. So let's say, for example, you're still awake at 1 o'clock in the morning, having gone to bed at 10 o'clock at night. Getting up and doing something, say, you know, read a book or you listen to a podcast or whatever, surely that means you're not going to get a good night's sleep because you're doing something that activates your brain, when actually the purpose of sleep is to deactivate and to recharge, rest and everything.
Yeah, I've known people who have done that, who if they can't sleep will get up and do something for a while. But I'm sort of on the same page as you in that if I'm not sleeping, I almost feel that getting up and doing something is just going to almost wake me up more. Like I'm just taking myself even further out of my sleep pattern.
Now, interestingly, before going to sleep, I used to take my phone with me.
Yes, same.
And, you know, I'll be looking on social media, I'll be looking at stuff. And there's evidence to suggest that we probably shouldn't be doing that.
Yes, blue light.
Blue light, that's right. because that interferes with the production of melatonin, which is essential for sleep. If there's not enough melatonin production, your sleep gets disrupted, which is scientifically proven. So considering why we might be looking at our phones while we're going to, before we go to sleep, I mean, the stuff I'm looking at, I'm almost using it as switching off.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the day where it's been very, it's very intensive what I do during the day. And, you know, if I want to sit there and look at TikToks or look at YouTube reruns, because I quite often look at reruns of TV shows or things that I like. So it's almost familiarity, it's routine, it's security for me. And that always puts me in the right frame of mind for going to sleep.
Yeah.
So if I watch something, I thought, yeah, that's comforting, that's everything. Right, I'm ready to go to sleep, now. But you never know when you're asleep and you're in your dream state, as it were. We talked in the last episode about social anxiety dreams, as it were. When they come calling, those social anxiety dreams, what's going to happen? I mean, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, of course.
You might be startled. You might be, you might succinctly remember something.
Yeah.
That you've dreamt about, or that's something that's coming up. Is there anything else to do?
Yeah. No, I'm very much on the same page as you. I watch TV, and then quite soon after I'm in bed, my phone is on. I'm usually watching something on my phone. And then when I'm going to sleep, my headphones are in and I'm listening to something. And that's just sort of my routine. But as you said, sort of all of the advice is very much against that. So it'd be interesting, I suppose, you know, I've often thought about whether it would be worth doing a sort of detox. Maybe I should try it for a week or two. Maybe it would make a difference to my sleep. But then it's also, as you said, it's almost a comfort. It's what you're used to. It's a way to wind down before you go to sleep.
Let's open that up to our listeners. Yeah. Let's ask our listeners to, on a poll that we'll put on the Spotify page.
Yes.
We'd be interested to know, your, do you take your phone with you when you go to sleep? Mm-hmm. When you get into bed, are you literally on your phone when you're in bed, or do you just put it to the side, as it were?
Yeah.
And actually, why would you use it? Why do you use it? Do you use it for that comfort? Do you use it for that security, as it were?
Yeah.
I think linked to that as well, it's where you are sleeping, so your sleep environment.
Yes, very important, I think.
So what do you consider? Are there any sort of essential components to an effective sleep environment?
For me, I can't have any light. So it has to be completely dark. If there's a light on, I will not fall asleep. I do need to have sound. Yeah. So for me, I think that's part of the reason I have my headphones in. For me, going to sleep when it's silent is very difficult. So again, I think that sound of listening to something is quite comforting and actually I feel helps me get to sleep. What would you say are your sort of...
You know, sometimes I ask my Alexa to play like a soundscape. There's some sounds I can have on Alexa to help me. The painful thing about that, though, is that I found out if you ask Alexa to play a random soundscape, you can get the most odd sounds on there.
Like a washing machine.
Washing machine, Hoover.
Yeah, that's not relaxing.
And it's like, for me, that's not, I don't get that.
No.
I don't get how the sound of a washing machine, a Hoover, can be relaxing. But I can also appreciate
that some people would.
That some people would find that because, you know, the sound of the washing machine, the circular motion of the washing machine visually, plus the sound of it can be comforting because it's routine, it's security and whatever. Like Hoover will generally make the same sound. But for me, that's not a match to good sleep.
Yeah. So what would, are there particular sounds you find work for you?
Anything nature based, so if it's forest, rain works for me really well.
Oh, interesting.
So if
Okay.
I say, Alexa, play, rain sounds, or oddly enough, thunder and lightning.
Oh, that
Thunder,
is
there's a
interesting.
thunder and lightning that they play on there, and it's oddly enough very reassuring.
Yeah.
And I draw a parallel, sorry, a comparison actually, between when there's a real life thunder and lightning storm. I actually don't sleep too badly through those.
Right.
And it's almost for me, if I wake up and I see the lightning, the flashes of lightning, that actually disturbs me more than the actual sound of the thunder. Because you see, you might be, what you wake up and you see this flash, you think, what on earth's that? And you just can't get back to sleep again.
Well, that's really interesting. So I feel like we've probably got quite different sort of sleep routines then, because I have tried those sort of nature sounds, and for me they just didn't work. But if I put like an episode on and put my headphones in of a show that I've seen a million times, for some reason that helps me to get to sleep.
See, I don't get that at all. I will sit there and watch stuff. That's more wind down for me rather than the sleep thing. Building on from that, there are things that I have tried in terms of hypnotherapy that have worked. So guided hypnotherapy, where my counsellor recommended for me a YouTube video that she did, and it's just of her talking. And when she mentioned it to me, I said, oh, that's not going to work. It sounds a bit too, a bit faffy, a bit out there for me. And it was talking about, you're in a field, you're in a meadow, you're by the beach, you're drinking a cocktail by the sea and everything. But I will happily say, the first time I heard it, I was probably asleep within 2 minutes. And the whole episode is about 20 minutes long. But I have tried it before, that the episode that I talked about before about not sleeping very much at all between in a particular night. And I tried the hypnotherapy and I got to the end of it and I couldn't get to sleep at all. But the way it's presented, it's very soothing, it's very calming, it's very nature based. It's things like you're in a field, you're lying on the field, you feel the clouds are going by, then the clouds are descending on you, and the fluffiness of the cloud is enveloping you and
Oh,
everything. And
lovely.
it's very nice and everything. And having that time for yourself to allow yourself to have these thoughts is amazing. And when it works, I think, great, yeah,
Oh,
absolutely, absolutely it.
absolutely.
But when it doesn't work, you think, for goodness sake, no, I want it to work.
But I can understand, those sort of nature sounds and imagining yourself somewhere could be really good. But I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you have social anxiety, and as we've talked about in the previous episode, if you have an event coming up, when you're sitting there, you're trying so hard, right? Let me focus on this. Let me, put myself in the mindset of being in nature. But those thoughts, those negative thoughts, that overthinking, it's so hard to override that, is what I find.
I find the same. You can't override them. I've never found the perfect way to get rid of them.
No.
You can try as hard as you can to get rid of them, the overriding process, but you can't do it.
No, I think you find ways to manage it a little better, or to maybe distract yourself. But yeah, I would agree. I've never found a way to just completely eliminate those thoughts.
I mean, another more drastic probably solution is medication. If you go down the route of going to your GP and asking for medication, I must put a disclaimer out there that you must see your GP or a medical professional before considering any sort of medication. I myself have had medication for my anxiety, but it hasn't been for sleep. And quite honestly, it didn't work. There's other ways of doing it.
But I suppose you probably put a lot of consideration into it first, then tried it, didn't work and looked at other methods.
I have to say it's been very interesting listening and talking about possible solutions we could implement for ourselves to improve the quality of our sleep, especially when social anxiety is involved. And as always, we would appreciate any feedback from the episode by emailing us at socialanxietylife2023@gmail.com.
Yes, absolutely. And we've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Thank you so much to everyone who contributes to these episodes, because I think it's really helping. It's making it a much more interesting conversation.